Impatience is key when it comes to this podcast because, that's right, we are discussing the first two episodes of The Owl House Season 3. Magic, mystery, and mayhem return as the kids do a reverse isekai, and we give a little TED Talk. So sit back, relax, and help us complete this archive of our podcast just like the collector.
Welcome to In Media Lives, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we'll be discussing the first part of season three of The Owl House, episodes 1 and 2, Thanks to Them and For the Future. Season three is getting a weird release schedule, and I suppose we figured these two specials combined together form pretty much a movie length, so it's worth talking about.
Also, I'm very impatient.
Yes, it's supposed to be, the third one is the final one. So, but we don't know when it's coming out. It could be a couple months still.
Now, I'm wondering, do we know the title for the third one? Is it going to start with memories?
Why? Why
Thanks memories? Thanks for the memories, the first word of each title.
Thanks for... It would just be thanks for memories.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. Well,
I know,
it's
I know. Okay.
The Facebook, right? It's Facebook. Thanks for memories.
You're hoping it's going to be Fallout Boy?
I wouldn't say hoping. I think they did it with the previous season, right? Am I mistaken?
Did they? Okay, wait.
Let's take a look.
Separate escaping echoes, keeping through hunting.
I think, like,
no.
Is it the first letter spelled something out? Am I tripping?
Seek the
yeah.
key, fear the lock. Oh.
It does. Okay, Touché. So I'm not... I'm right, Chloe.
Does the first one do it? A-W-I...
I don't think so.
A witch...
Oh, does it?
Loses at...
Chess.
Ruway? I don't... Wait.
Hold on.
Which route loses a true way.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to form a word with three. So I guess it could be thanks for the memories. I don't know.
And also, like, are you reading it upside down too? Because I'm on Google trying to figure this out.
And what it's if all it's like backwards. Called thanks and for.
Thanks for watching.
Everything.
Thanks for everything.
Thanks for all the fish.
Thanks for canceling Disney.
Thanks for Disney. Thanks for homophobia. I don't know.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way, this is a really good season.
Yes. So trying to think what my thoughts are here, and it's very jumbled and complex. So I feel like the first episode is mostly just kind of summarizing, reflecting on everyone's journey so far and setting up the stakes for the third season. It's Luz and her friends, as well as Hunter, are all trapped in the human realm, mortal realm. What do they call it? I don't remember what they call it.
I don't remember.
Okay. They're trapped in the human realm. I think it's human realm.
Just that. Human realm.
Yeah. I'm overthinking things because I don't know.
How dare you?
But it's them kind of, I don't know, I feel like a lot of it is just like, first of all, Luz's mother, which, do we know her name, by the way? Camilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luz, Amity, Gus, Willow, and Hunter are in the human realm, and it's basically about, I don't know, it's like a speed run of kind of them getting to understand what it's like in the human realm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little sad that it had to be so quick, because I feel like without Disney meddling, this would be an entire season.
Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful, too. Like, it's so funny. Yeah.
And there's so many interesting moments. Like, Hunter's dealing with the fact that he's a Grimwalker and, like, this clone of the bad guy, Emperor Bellows. And I don't know, just like, what? Oh, God, my internet connection is unstable.
Oh, no. I hear you fine. Oh,
no. Okay. Well, you said,
Because you got quiet.
Yeah, because my internet dropped out for a second.
Okay. I thought you were just thinking.
No. No, that was my internet dropping for a moment. Okay, if it happens again, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we'll figure it out. Okay, so Hunter is dealing with the fact that he's a Grimwalker and a clone of Emperor Bellows that Emperor Bellows makes so that he can re-inhabit a youthful body, I guess.
Or just like a body that doesn't fall apart immediately.
Yeah, like it seems to be implied that he has some kind of, he's kind of wasting away. Mm-hmm. And he needs fresh bodies is the impression I get.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong about all of this. I watched this when it first, this episode when it first aired, and then I rewatched it in January, so it has been a couple weeks.
I have not watched it until last night at like midnight.
Why don't you do the summary?
You did an excellent summary. The first episode is them living in the human world and dealing with the trauma of, you know, finally having a moment to breathe.
Yeah, I don't remember how they get back to the demon realm. There's something that happens in like a graveyard.
Basically, the two brothers, what are their names? The bad dude and his older brother, right? They were witch hunters, but the older brother fell in love with a witch. So they had like a little cute thing of, they made a map for where Titan's blood is so that he can travel to her.
Okay.
And the map led them to the graveyard.
Caleb was the older brother.
Yeah. Philip,
that's Bellows, right. And Caleb.
So
Bellows also, I think.
Probably. So Caleb and his girlfriend had a cute map, and that's how they would like meet up. That's what I gathered from it. And Philip is not aware of it, but because the kids found it and he took over Hunter, he used the map to go there. Whereas Luz, she used magic because Titan's blood makes magic work, and her glyphs started working better the closer she was to it. So that, like, triangulated where it was at.
Right.
So I feel like in the second one, they get back and they figure out that everything is kind of very wrong, and they find refuge at the school where a lot of the students are hiding. And, like, that was also a very fun episode.
Yeah.
I love Basha, or what's her name? Bashta?
The one he, like, took over?
Yeah, the mean one.
The mean one with like three eyes or whatever.
Could you believe it that the mean girl is my favorite character?
I know. When does that ever happen?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. What do you think of the Collector?
I dig the Collector. I actually really like that character. There's a lot to him that is very like hidden in the background art.
Yes.
I paused and took a look, and it looks like it's a very dark story. So it's very interesting.
Say more about it. Can't just say stuff like that. You love to
I'm getting to it.
Or you hint at something. It's like, dude, you're not setting up for something. We're supposed to discuss it. Discuss it.
I know. I'm a storyteller at heart.
Yes. You love cliffhangers.
Basically, when King reads him the bedtime story, we get like kind of a hint that like, the Collector is gonna get what's coming to him if someone doesn't help him, right? So he's already in danger just by interfering. And that's a really big part of his existence from what I understand. But also, when we look throughout the little tiara castle thing he has, the archives, there are portraits up on the wall. And let me see if I can actually find a screenshot of it.
Okay.
Click clack.
Yeah, clack, 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 clack.
Okay. So let me send you this image. Okay. So you see how like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That the, hallway.
Like the parents looking people.
And a lot of it is just him kind of being sidelined. Like, especially the one that, for example, the one that's closest to us right now, the most visible.
So to describe what we see. We see three adult collectors overlooking like what looks to be a planet, all sinister. And then we've got, like, the baby collector, aka our collector, kind of looking like, please, I want to be part of your world domination plans and being left out.
Exactly. And there was another one where they all kind of looked down on him. And
yeah, the fourth one, it's, again, just, like, a baby collector and, like, a bunch of big collectors kind of looking, I don't know, like, there's definitely a sense of apartness.
Yeah, so... Oh. Accidentally turned on a video while looking for pictures. So, like, that hints at a much bigger story, and I feel like it would have been super super interesting, but I doubt we're going to get that now. But at the very least, I really like how they set up the whole thing where the Collector is doing a lot of messed up things to people. In a way, we see King really kind of take care of him, in a sense.
Yeah.
And they're both children, so King is not necessarily equipped for it, but he is truly taking care of the Collector, especially with that plush scene where the Collector is like, can I please hug Francois? And King is like, I don't let anyone touch it. But he can like, yeah, sure, he can watch you. And like, that was a really good scene.
Yeah.
I really liked that. And of course, Bellows manipulating the Collector into thinking King is going to betray him. But then us hearing how King is actually just saying, no, I don't want to trap him. It is, he's just a child and he needs us. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just, this is a very kind cartoon and I'm digging it. What do you like about, do you like the Collector? Because you asked the question, so now I'm like wondering, are you a fan of him? Is it like something about the character not working for you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because I thought about this because I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know. First of all, the Collector is kind of like a third act twist villain. Like, the villain being set up in the first two seasons is the Emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got this twist where the Emperor is just kind of this parasite, and the Collector is really the power that is very terrifying here.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that piece where it's just kind of like, we got faked out on who the big bad was, but whatever. You know, a lot of media does that. That being said, I don't know. I like their personality.
Mm-hmm. Is the Collector
Sorry. No, I just wasn't sure. I like his personality. I like the kind of childishness of the of a villain.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the heck I'm saying. I am like sleep deprived or something. I did not sleep while the cats kept me up all night. But okay, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say I like the idea of the Collector. I'm not sure if I like the execution. I don't like the fact that, like, I don't know. We didn't get enough hints to the Collector. Like, we got a few, but like, there was no moment when the Collector was revealed at the end of season two where I was just like, oh, that all makes sense. Like, not really. And I know this is like a show for kids, so I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt here. But I also find the Collector kind of annoying, which maybe is purposeful. Like, he is like supposed to be like an annoying kid who doesn't have any manners or knows anything about what he's doing. Is just kind of a spoiled brat because he can turn anyone he wants into a toy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I find him annoying.
That's fair.
Yeah. But then again, I'm saying, like, I think maybe that's on purpose, too. So
I think it's mostly on purpose, but also, like, I don't think I know this about you. Do you like kids?
Wow, what a question to ask and make me have to publicly put a statement out here. I
can cut this out if you want. But just
No. This is like, kids are people. There are good kids. There are bad kids. I don't categorically like kids. I don't categorically dislike kids. I babysit sometimes, occasionally. I've been known to, and had a lot of fun doing it. I've also babysat before where I had a horrible time because the kid was super spoiled and it was awful. So yeah, that's my answer. Like, it's not a categorical thing.
Okay.
I think kids overall though, like, are good. I like their creativity. I like their innocence, and I think we need more of that in terms of like society. But like, yeah, I don't know, like, some kids can be nightmares, and I think the Collector is one of those.
I don't know, he seems like a pretty okay kid.
Yeah, but yeah, I understand. Whole, like, turned all the adults into puppets and is basically like has no check on his power and therefore just wants everything and gets really upset if he doesn't get his way.
Exactly. But also, have you considered, it was actually heartbreaking to me when we see what that story that King reads is and the crossed out section.
Yeah.
And then,
What was it again? Can you remind me?
Yeah, so basically it was kind of like the origin of the Collectors, or basically their like mission statement, right? They're observing and they're
right.
I'm doing a lot of Googling this episode. Okay. Let me find the
I'll allow you to do the Googling because I'm lazy and I've got cat on my lap, which, by the way, you've got more purring to include.
I hear it now. It's going to be super loud.
Justice, are you giving our show a soundtrack?
a lot of pictures of the storybook from the side. Tells me nothing.
Okay. I know what you're talking about, though. There's a bunch of, like, rules in there, and the collector crossed some of them out. Or did King cross them out?
It would be the collector crossed it out.
Okay.
I think the collector is actually non-binary.
No, but no? It's he, him.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty sure. Okay, now I'm second-guessing, but no, I'm... The wiki uses he, him pronouns.
Okay. Oh, okay, there it is. Is it? Yes, okay. So, collectors live long. We watch... Oh, whoa, it's a very blurry picture. Collectors live long. We watch things pass. To preserve, to observe, we must amass. But what flies... No. Wait. I don't have my glasses on.
Oh my god, Val.
One second. Also, my keyboard broke, so Zach gave me his. Oh, shoot. I zoomed in too far. I don't know how to use this. This is a...
Things are going well on Val's side.
It's
today.
Not. I'm struggling. Collectors live long. We watch things pass. To preserve, to observe, we must amass what flies, what swims, be it predator or prey, seal them up so they may never fade. And the crossed out section is, but should they meddle in our affairs, we'll clear the planet and scorch the air. So the collector crossed that out and says, but playing is more fun, make friends instead, and the others stink, boo.
Interesting.
So basically the collectors kind of like wipe things out if it doesn't go according to what they want it to go. Right?
Yeah.
Like if things interfere. But like this one specifically just wants friends. And I'm assuming probably because the collector is very ostracized.
Yeah.
I don't know, just something about how desperate he was not to have that section be read. Like, it really tore at my heart. And I don't usually get that with cartoons. Like, even when we watched Arcane. Like, it's an amazing cartoon, right?
Yeah.
It was really, really well made. Everything about it is kind of, like, perfect. But it didn't really bring out a lot of emotions in me. And that's just, like, a me thing, I think. Because a lot of other people who watched it, like, had a lot of emotions be brought up. And it's really, really great. But this one specifically, for some reason, just, like, that moment, really got to me. Maybe that's why I really enjoy The Collector.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What worked about the kids being in the human realm? Like, what about that? Did you enjoy, not enjoy? Because that was an awesome episode.
It's an inversion of the first season, right? The first season, Luce is the fish out of water in the demon realm.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know how anything works, but she's really excited to learn. At the same time, she's scared. You know, things are very overwhelming. There's a lot that she has to learn in a very short time. And that is what the episode does, but in reverse. Luce is now the expert. All the others, Willow, Remedy, Hunter, and, oh God, what's his name? Gus. I promise I'm just sleep deprived.
Gus is great.
You can keep that in. Are all kind of visiting. And so it's kind of like, again, it's just like an inverse of the first season. I don't know, just like the stuff about them, like learning how to interact with our society. I kind of love that whenever it happens in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's that movie where the Disney princess comes to New York?
Enchanted.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that second movie. There's a second one coming out and it looks like it might be pretty good.
Didn't that already come out?
I don't know. Probably.
Okay. Now I have to know.
I did just say that in February.
Disenchanted came out.
It did? Okay.
Yes, in November 16th.
Okay.
Last year.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. Embarrassing. Jeez. How do you not know? I don't think you ever laughed that hard at anything.
I don't know why that got me.
I don't know why that got you.
It's because I don't know anything, and it's just...
Anyway.
I'm also very sleepy, just like you.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is going to be a weird episode. I always say that, and it's like our best episodes. But anyway, it's kind of that, I don't know what you call it, like a reverse isekai. Is that the word?
I don't know. Ask Becky. I'm not a weeb.
It's the Japanese word for like when the hero gets transported to another world and they're like a fish out of water. And that's basically what Owl House is, right? I'm going to look up how to pronounce it so that like we don't get 1,000 people on Tumblr being like, actually, it's pronounced this way.
Loser, you're saying it wrong. I'm pretty sure you're saying it right, though.
Okay, hold on. I'm watching a YouTube video.
Okay. Isekai. 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 Is that how it's said?
Hold on. The one I found was not great. Isekai. So that's all Owl House is. The first season is an isekai because Luce gets transported to another world where there's like magic and stuff. And that's literally what isekai is.
Welcome to our TED Talk.
Yes. It's same thing as I think Never Ending Story, also an isekai.
I've never seen that.
Do you want to cry when a horse dies?
Is that a meme?
There's a very famous scene in the Never Ending Story where the horse gives in to despair and dies in a swamp.
Okay, that's Don't relatable. Laugh.
It's really sad.
When you describe it as the horse gives into despair and dies, it's funny.
You know, it like broke me. Remember we had that poll on our Discord and all our friends were like, yeah, that was the scene.
I don't remember that because I don't know. Like, I remember a poll. I don't remember what the results were because I didn't understand any of it.
It was like a tie between Artax. And then people said that it didn't cause them any trauma.
Okay.
But Bambi's mom only got one vote. And my mom added a scene where there was a car skit from SNL where a cat drove a car off a cliff. And I got really sad and kept saying kitty fall down and was inconsolable.
Oh, I remember that. Yep.
Because the cat died driving the car off the cliff and it broke me. My brother said there was a scene in Ernest Scared Stupid when a dog gets turned to stone, and that made him distraught.
Where is the poll? I don't remember. Yeah, what did I say?
You said Bambi. You said not Bambi. You said you don't remember Bambi. The baby freezing to death in Titanic.
Oh, yeah, that messed me up.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Anywho.
Isekais.
Isekai.
What we have is a reverse isekai for this first episode, where it's like all these fantasy people go to a mundane place and have to learn how to fit in. And for some reason, I love those. Like,
it's
I feel like
so
I've read multiple, like, I don't think Enchanted was the first thing that came to mind, but I think it comes up a lot more in like fan fiction. I've definitely read some like
probably yeah.
internet fiction where it happens more often.
And it's always funny. Oh, also Kate and Leopold. That kind of has that vibe.
Not seen Kate and Leopold. Okay. Or whatever that is.
It's about a dude traveling accidentally forward in time. So he's like an aristocrat from like the whatever times. And now he's
Does that count as an isekai though, if it's just time travel? I would say yes, yeah. But maybe some purists.
There's probably some magic in there. I don't remember. I watched it like 15 years ago, probably more. But yeah, I really like that too. Keep going. Yeah. Tell me more.
Okay.
Tell me more, Chloe.
I'm going to keep going. Yeah, just like the whole fact. And there were so many like individually good scenes, like Luce has her coming out. And then I really like that it isn't just like one scene of like she comes out and then her mom hugs her and then that's the end. But you see the mom like...
Yeah, she wears a pin for the rest of the episode.
She wears the pin.
For the rest of the season, probably.
Rest of the next scene. It's just like, I like how small moments like that, because it's only like, it's shown as part of a montage, but it has an impact. And I like that because it's clear, again, they couldn't do a full season of this, but they're making it count. And I appreciate that.
I will say that Camilla goes through a very, very big arc in that
episode.
I
was going to say, that's what I was going to mention next, actually, was Camilla. I feel like in the first season, at least, is kind of presented not as an antagonist, but as something that is a source of conflict for Luce, which I guess is the definition of an antagonist. She's like a very minor antagonist. Like she wants Luce.
She's an overworked mom who kind of wants her kid to have certain things, but requires to kind of extinguish a lot of other things in her kid for it.
Yeah, and we know that Camilla did not have a, you know, we learned that like she was really into Star Trek or whatever the equivalent of Star Trek is, the not Star Trek of this world. I don't know, Cosmic Frontier, that's what it's called. And Camilla loves
Star Galactica. I've seen neither. I don't know which one is more like.
Oh gosh, it's Star Trek. Battlestar Galactica is the one with the evil robots, the Cylons.
I've never heard that word. Continue.
You've never? Well,
yeah.
Jesus, okay.
I'm an immigrant.
Okay, but like Battlestar Galactica was big when you were in the United States. It wasn't like it wasn't a thing. Anyway.
No comment.
Okay. I feel like it aired from like 2008 to 2012.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought it was like an ancient thing.
No, there was like an original one, but they made a new one. It's kind of like, well, like Star Trek or Star Wars.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I don't know if I'd recommend it because it had the worst ending of like any show I have ever watched.
Well, we did talk about The 100.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to talk. No. I'm going to talk about this now because screw it. You brought it up. This is your fault.
Okay.
Their ending of their, okay, and I'm spoiling it. I don't care. You can be mad at me because it's so stupid. What happens is that like they're this futuristic society, but they get destroyed by the evil Cylons, which are an AI. And they basically are being chased across the universe by the Cylons. And then at the end, the main character who died, she comes back as an angel and basically says, I found the promised land, Earth, and I'm going to lead us there. And she leads everyone to Earth, the humans and the Cylons, and they agree to like interbreed and just give up all their technology and become the early humans.
Okay.
And then at the end, it's like two characters talking at the camera being like, this might seem like science fiction, but really, this could be more real than you realize. And it's like, okay, it's so stupid. It's so stupid.
And this is just how I met your mother.
Why? Yeah, basically. Like, why would you, like, be like, yeah, we found the promised land. Let's give up all our technology, all our conveniences to go live like cave people. Like, why would you?
I don't have an answer for you.
I don't understand. It's such a bad. Anyway, okay, not Star Trek, Cosmic Frontier. Camilla's really into it. And I feel like that actually helps that Gus and Hunter kind of get into it too. Mm-hmm. And I think that
Hunter
forms a real
gets
connection.
Very into it. Gus is just into everything. Gus is an excellent little guy.
Yes. Gus is into everything human.
I do like that each of them kind of has their own sort of trauma to get through. For example, Willow just really has to put up a front, and Hunter is beyond struggling.
Yeah, Hunter is dealing with the
and we see
Grimwalker
him,
thing.
We see him actually just like exhibit some signs of physical violence. Yeah. Like he's a survivor. And remember when he gets Luz and they go to the house because he thinks Belos is there, and he is, but like he is physically afraid. Like, we can see on the screen how afraid he is. And he has these very little moments of, like, just very strong emotional reactions. And they're little details, but they're also massive details. And I really like it. It's really fun to watch in a very, like, oh, okay, he's a messed up guy. He's a kid, oh no, kind of way. I'm curious about Gus.
Yep.
There's just, the ambulance will not stop. It just won't stop. It's been going for like 20 minutes.
They're here to get you. They're taking Val away finally. Yes.
Because I'm losing my mind right now. But yeah, Gus, I'm curious because we don't really see him experience any of that sort of trauma.
Yeah.
But with the other four, well, even Amity is kind of okay. So the three kids, Hunter, Willow, and Luz, they're really struggling. And Camilla sees that. I really like how she realizes that the way that she's been treating her child is not helpful and kind of stems from her own experiences in life, because she says she was bullied.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just very tight. It was a very good, like, 40 minutes. They got a lot of stuff in. I don't think there was any scene that I was like, I don't know what that's in there. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, again, it has to be so dense because they're getting through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but sometimes we have that sort of stuff happen and then, like, creators waste some space on something that doesn't need to be there. I think we talked about something like that recently, didn't we? What was it?
I think
The Last of Us.
The scene where something happens.
In The Last of Us, yeah.
In The Last of Us, in
episode 3. And, like, we talked about that, how there was a moment or two where it was like, oh, in hindsight, maybe they didn't really need to have that. But here,
they could have it and they needed to have more of an impact. Whereas I think in here, I think the thing they do that's perfect is that every scene matters.
Mm-hmm. Especially the scene where Amity trips in a library. I said that unironically.
Is that the one where she finds the map?
No. She goes to the library because she's a librarian and she loves it there, right? Yeah. And none of the little drawers are opening up. She bows to them.
She
offers it snacks. And then she just sees a toddler run up and open one and freaks out, tries to run away, trips, and, like, falls on her face. And, like, that's important.
Yes. It's very important.
It's super important. We haven't had Amity, like, mess up like that in a very farcical way in a very long time. And that's one of her best qualities.
Good times.
Good times. The giraffe scene also got me, I will say.
Wait, what was the giraffe scene?
Because in the first episode, Ida told Luz that, like, giraffes were banished from the demon realm because they're, weird and scary and creepy.
Yes.
And then the kids very fearfully go into the zoo in, like, search of information, and they're like, we should ask a giraffe.
Yeah.
And they go up to one, and it, like, opens its demon head at them, and they, like, freak out and run.
Right.
And that is probably the longest running joke in the show, because it happened in season 1, it was mentioned, and now we see why, and I loved it.
A third act prestige. I love it. I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about episode 1 and not so much about episode 2.
Yeah, let's get to that, because I was just about to like go into that because I'm so excited.
Okay. What do you think is going to happen? Let me start with that question.
Well, I hope that Bellows gets defeated and not like reformed like what's his name in She-Ra did.
Yeah, like Hordak.
Yeah. I want him to be gone, because he is truly a vile person. And I think that's kind of what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that Hunter kind of banishes him, or basically, it's going to be like a tender moment where Hunter's like...
His own person.
Hunter's his own person, and he tells Bellows, okay, you know, I don't think you were a good person, but you need to go away now, go rest. You know,
they need to kill him.
It's Disney, though. It's Disney. They won't make it like brutal.
Maybe they will. Terrace is kind of upset, I've heard.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe the team is like, we'll just do it.
Okay. This is going to be the one where Disney decides to go all out. It'll be the red wedding of the Owl House.
Absolutely. I do really like that when Kikimora comes back, she is unchanged. She is the same Kikimora from Always, and I, for some reason, really like that. Like, we don't need every single character to have a little, like, redemption. I love that she is a rascal, let's say, and she remains one.
Yep.
And I don't think she'll ever change, and for some reason, like, that's really great. We need a Kikimora to be in more shows.
Okay, I thought you were going to say to be friends with us. I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
Don't know about that.
No, we don't. That we definitely don't need. She will sell us for anything.
Yep.
Anything, any offer.
Yep, yeah. Which, fair.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you can get for us. We're not worth all that much.
Hey. I'm priceless.
Oh, yeah. That's another word for not worth anything. You mean the world to me.
Thank you. Lilith. It's hard to say. The new hair that Lilith.
You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. Lilith. Not Willow. Not Rivith. Lilith.
Lilith has a new haircut, and I like it so much.
Yes.
I like it so much.
I love Lilith's whole thing in this episode. You know, she's been turned into this puppet, but she's working with King.
She's not a puppet.
She's not a puppet? She's not a puppet.
She's not. She's been turning people back from being a puppet, I think.
Right. That's what...
But very slowly and rarely.
Yes. And she's like, I'm
a liar. No? I'm a liar.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was like, I thought...
She has been cooking up the curse elixir for Ida on the down low.
Right.
That's what she's been doing. Because the collector thinks that Ida is still the owl lady.
Yes.
And she's not.
And I forget, Hootie gets turned into a puppet.
Hootie is, but he's still in there. He has a voice box, and I don't think he's actually, controlled. He's just incapacitated physically, because he says some very Hootie-like things that are horrifying. He's like, he says something like, I burn within this prison or something.
Yeah.
I gotta say, there's too much to talk about. Because this is jam-packed. All the characters are excellent. Mathalamu, he's great with his little stubble and Halamu being his last name this entire time.
Matt.
There's just a lot of stuff. And it's all these little things that I haven't been this, I forgot how to speak English. I got distracted. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I haven't been this invested in a cartoon in forever. And I think it's mostly the very little details. For example, I love how they draw the characters in this season. Their styles, the way they aged, all of them having their scars remain.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Hunter just in episode 2 just being covered in all of his scars. I don't know. It just does. It's the little things, you know? And you should speak now because I will keep going and I will not stop. So,
okay.
What are your thoughts?
Okay, so to start off with, I didn't get to answer the question of what do I think is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got thoughts. So, yeah, I think Bellows gets destroyed somehow. I think the Collector, it's so hard to think. I had a couple different thoughts about what happens to the Collector. Either everyone managed to convince the Collector that, he'd be better off as a real boy. I could see them going for that angle of, I'm going to become a real boy. And then he's going to go to the human realm.
That's interesting. I like that.
And kind of be, a normal kid. And maybe that's all he wants. But that, to me, feels too obvious. So my other thought is that, the other Collectors show up. Because they notice what he's doing and are just like, no, you're not supposed to play with them. You know, they meddle with us, so we have to destroy them all. And that causes the Collector to turn on the other Collectors, and there's a team up, and then something happens and all the Collectors leave. I don't know.
I feel like that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a buildup of the other Collectors being a lot more murderous than this Collector, who is not exactly...
Having a good time.
He's just having a good time. But he doesn't want to really kill anyone, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah.
He just wants everyone to play with him.
I also feel like he might bring some Titans back.
Okay.
I just feel like maybe just for the heck of it.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Just here's a new Titan or two.
Exactly.
What's less clear to me, what's going to happen with Ida, Lilith... I don't know.
I feel like Ida's still going to be cursed because they've been keeping with that. And just people with disabilities not having a magical cure to it. Literally, it seems to be a theme. I don't know. It's probably going to be a She-Ra happy ending.
Okay.
Which I don't mind.
Fair enough. I'm trying to think of I don't know. But the Rain puppet is inhabited by Bellows right now, right?
Mm-hmm. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
I really like that.
That's interesting.
Because we get more rain and...
But evil rain.
Yeah. Which, I always like it when non-binary characters have a bigger arc than being a tertiary.
Yes. more than just being a love interest. They're there to also be the villain's puppet.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, in some ways groundbreaking. You know, non-binary people can be puppets too.
Exactly. Literally. But yeah, I kind of want to see Rain overcome that as well, because we've seen them do that a couple of times in the past.
Yes.
And I feel like that's something that they are specifically kind of used to handling, like kind of used to getting out of that situation, which
is the secret powers of bard magic, the most annoying form of magic.
Hey, I play a bard.
I know, that's what I mean.
I know.
Anyway, I feel like I'm insulting Val a lot. I don't mean to insult you too much.
I'm very easy to insult because I'm not insultable.
You said it, not me. See, I was trying to be nice to you and then you set up another situation for me to insult you. Jeez. I'm mad at you, Val, for making me insult you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Uh-huh. We've got like 10 minutes left. Yes. We can talk about the Palisman reveal. What did you think of String Bean?
I don't know. It was interesting. It was fun. I thought it was going to be a combination of all of those things, and a little bit is. It is what it is. I kind of liked it more when it was an egg.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot, like, the nurturing aspect of it, you know, Lou's kind of having to deal with that and being unsure if it will hatch because there is no magic in the world. Like, I don't know. It had a lot of, like, really cool themes about it. And then when it hatched, it was just like, I honestly thought it was just going to be like a space orb. And I liked that idea a little more than like it being a shape-shifting little creature. How about you?
Oh, I thought it was really cute. I don't know. I like what they did. I like it's kind of looks like a Dratini from Pokemon.
I don't know.
Google Pokemon. Dratini.
Is it like... Send me a picture. I don't even know how to start spelling that.
Oh my god, it's just Dratini.
Oh, draw. Okay, gotcha. All
right. I sent you a picture.
Wow.
Sent you a picture.
You're so mean to me.
I am mean to you. It totally is a Dratini.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Yeah, it totally looks like a Dratini. Or she. I think it's String Bean is she, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense for Luce, her palisman to be something that's capable of kind of shifting. That makes sense for her, given that kind of her whole thing is that she's able to like fit in with lots of different people and see their perspectives. And that's kind of like what her power has always been, her ability to like have empathy.
It also makes sense for it to be a snake because she's really into snakes. It's been something she's been into for a while throughout the show.
Yep.
I will also mention Hunter's palisman.
Whose name is?
Flapjack.
Flapjack.
Yeah. That broke my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was really sad.
Oh, you're going to get some purring right into the mic right now.
I heard it. Yeah, thanks, Justice, for making me feel better. But yeah, just like Flapjack dying and then sacrificing itself in a way that Bellows took power from Palismans.
Yeah.
Hunter having to take that power unwillingly. Like, I don't know, there was just something about that that was very dark. Yeah. And very upsetting, but also very hopeful in a way. And I feel like other than the egg, Flapjack is the only other palisman that we have a very, like, great attachment to in a sense of, like, plot. We were there when Flapjack found Hunter and became Hunter's palisman. So, like, we had that relationship develop the same way that we had Luz and String Bean develop their relationship. But for them, it was her crafting it and it being an egg and her like taking care of it.
Yeah.
But like Flapjack's death just, it killed me. I was like, come on, not again. This cartoon has done too much. And it kept doing it.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that Hunter is into wolves.
Yes. And he likes it. Makes sense.
Absolutely, yes. Like that's out of everything in this cartoon, that is the most realistic thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like, okay. I feel like it's a super apt comparison, and probably a lot of people are going to be doing it, but if they aren't already, such strong Zuko vibes.
From Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite to the level of Zuko. Like, I think it's because Zuko had more time on screen, and I think Hunter, again, it just, the fact that they've had to cram a lot into it very quickly into the second and third seasons. But like, yeah, he's definitely the Zuko, the like antagonist to lovable protagonist arc is always.
He doesn't have that like villain turns good guy arc, but he has that a very like young child who's been just emotionally abused by his father figure for years and years and years is finding friends and learning how to live with it. Yeah. And there's a lot of very similar themes. I just really like Hunter. He's probably my favorite this season. Just like him getting a haircut and him having like that panic attack while right before. I don't know. I think I just like traumatized characters so much.
You like mean girls and traumatized characters. Those are Val's two favorite things.
And a lot of times they're the same. They're the same character a lot of times, but not always. So in a lot of things, I get two characters.
So you don't like Amity anymore because she's no longer a mean girl?
She actually didn't have that much to do this season.
Yeah, that was the thing I wanted. I also thought about was like Amity has kind of taken a backseat.
Yeah, which is fine.
I feel like Willow and Hunter had a lot more attention. Luz is like supposedly the main character, but I even feel like she didn't quite get as much attention as
she had
Talisman.
Very little. Yeah,
I feel like it's because Luz and Amity have kind of are fully realized at this point. Like they know who they are. They know what they want.
Yeah, they're kind of comfortable in their skin.
Yeah, and I think that happens sometimes with shows like this. I feel like it was something, I feel like that happened in the third season of The Last Airbender, where we had to go on, all the characters went on adventures with Zuko, and the whole point is that, like, Zuko was not kind of, like, fully realized as a person yet, and he needed to, like, have these arcs where he develops a bit.
Yeah.
And that's why Aang kind of took a backseat to Zuko for half the season.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. I don't mind it. Once again, I did want a little bit more Gus, but it also makes complete sense that he's fine.
Yeah. Gus knows his magic. He knows how to use it.
He's also just like in a place he's always wanted to visit.
Yeah. He's happy. I mean, not like happy, happy. Obviously, the world got like collected, but
archived. You
know, archived.
Can we also just do like a little shout out to V? They are excellent. Yes, I love them. I want more of them.
If I remember correctly, V gets like very stressed out by a lot of the stuff that the others are doing.
Yeah.
I love their reactions.
Right. And she's like really into that like non-binary museum person too. And it's very cute. I really like that she gets like a new visage, a new face.
I forgot what pronouns
she uses. I
think
it's she or she they?
Okay. I don't know. The wiki doesn't say.
V is a character, she is a basilisk. So probably she, but also pronouns are whatever.
Yeah, who cares? aside from people who care about them, which is perfectly valid.
But I really, really enjoy that, like, she developed her own look and she's comfortable in her own way. And then she stayed behind because she's like, I'm not getting involved with that crazy stuff in the demon realm. I'm going to stay home and I'm just going to take care of things while you're gone. And Camilla's like, oh yeah, go to work, tell this person that she's in charge and blah, blah, blah. That was amazing. Yeah. That was so good. That was truly hilarious. And also when she's like, oh no, Camilla took the car keys. So I don't know. It's just, she's funky fresh and awesome.
Yeah.
And also she had a scene where she is scared to go back into the museum. And as I've said before, trauma scenes are fun.
Are they now?
They are so fun. I really like that scene.
Okay.
I don't know what to say to that, though.
I like V a lot. She's great. I like their design a lot, or her design a lot when she's in the new human form.
Yeah, it's so cool.
The hair, I want to be her friend with the blue in real ends. Life. I want everything. And I like her outfit with the pumpkin sweater and the jeans, the rips, and the big boots. That's basically how I dress in the autumn.
All of the outfits are really great. Like, Hunter having, like, the PJs.
Yeah.
I don't know. The character design is awesome. My sister walked by while I was watching it, and she saw Hunter with his, like, short hair, and she goes, oh, he's hot. And then she walks by, like, she walks away. And, like, yeah, they look really great. They look like teenagers in the street that are relatable to us.
Yeah.
Whereas in the demon realm, they're all in, like, leotards and fancy magic gear. Like, it was just great to see all the crop tops and the sweats and the cargo pants and, like...
Yeah, the, like, Earth street style. Yeah. And I've got to say, it's really cool to me that they invested so much in, like, the outfits, because I feel like a lot of animated series, you know, they always just wear the same outfit, more or less, because it's very expensive, I think, to develop outfits for characters, because the artists have to get used to drawing the characters in their new outfits, and... I don't know. I think it, like, eats into the animation budget a bit when you have characters change outfits, which is why mostly characters wear the same outfits. So it's really astonishing to me that, like, we see so many different outfits on the main characters in just what are supposed to be, like, a 3-episode mini season. They very easily could have, you know, skirted around that, and they didn't. And that's impressive.
And then they did the same thing with Camilla, too.
Yeah.
She has a lot of wardrobe changes, and as the episode keeps going, she gets more and more comfortable. And, like, I really actually like that once they got to the portal, she was like, oh, you're not going in there alone. You're kids. I'm the adult. I'm gonna go in there.
Yeah, because, like, any other series, she would be like, okay, honey, go save the world. I'll stay here. No.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm coming with you. You're kids. And that was amazing. I loved her so much in that moment.
Yeah. Mom power.
Yeah, moms are great.
We're out of time and there's so much to talk about.
I know. Okay.
So we'll have another opportunity to discuss this when the third one comes out.
A debrief.
Brief.
Hopefully it comes out. Yeah, a D long. I don't know. Wait, isn't that the guy from Blink-182? Tom DeLong, I think is his name.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that was... Okay, never mind.
What song is that? Is that a band?
Blink-182.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I know people. I've made a lot of jokes about not knowing things. Yeah, I know.
You've seen Travis Barker live. Don't give me that. Haven't you? Yeah.
Was he at the concert?
He was at Machine Gun Kelly, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got some social media to plug. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez, and our Tumblr is...
thepod.inmedialez.tumblr.com.
My internet just cut out when you said it.
Yes,
okay.
No!
Oh, God, but it's fine. No, it's fine, because you recorded it. Let's finish this quick.
Yes.
You can email us at inmedialez@gmail.com, and our website is inmedialez.com. Thank you to everyone who interacts with us in any way. We love you.
And we'll see you in the next one.
And God bless you.